point. Take the 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 point. Here we go. We're back, week two. It's the Take the Points podcast. I am Tom Zeleznok in Hartford, Connecticut, and I'm live via Skype. New three-way video Skype with Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett in separate locations in the general Phoenix area. Hey, guys.
Hello, Tom.
What's going on, Mr. Z? And Ryan.
So, for all of our listeners, this is a very, very bad week of college football. We had, as Dan just said before we started taping, we had the best week one ever, possibly, and now possibly the worst week two ever. So we're going to do things a little differently this time. We're going to recap week one quickly, and then we're going to sort of power through all of the lines, tell a few stories. Dan and Spillett will talk about their upcoming trip to a certain Tempe area game. And then maybe we have a few surprises. My first surprise, gentlemen, before we even get into the lines, I'm going to hold this up to the camera, and I don't know if you can see it, but I have an official beverage of tonight.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well then.
You guys want to explain what you see on the...
Crystal Pepsi, a blast from the past. And well, this version is in a modern plastic bottle. This isn't in one of the 16-ounce... What the hell was it? Containers we used to have back in the day that like weighed like 5 pounds each. Crystal Pepsi was supposed to be mind-blowing. It really doesn't taste good whatsoever, and it crashed and burned bad, and it came back for some reason, and it'll be going away right around the time all the Halloween stuff's on clearance. So there you go.
So I'm yet to taste it. I'm going to wait a little bit. We're going to tease the people listening. I'm going to do a taste test of this thing I haven't had in probably since the Pearl Jam 10 era, like 25 years. Probably listened to like Blood Sugar Sex Magik and had a Crystal Pepsi. Have not tried it since. It was terrible at the time, as Dan said. Probably one of the best corporate failures of our lifetime. Like, I always hear our parents talk about the Betamax and how it was this massive failure. I think Crystal Pepsi was our Betamax. But anyway, later in the show, I am going to taste it, and we'll get a full report. So
looking forward
excellent.
To it.
Looking forward to that.
These are the kinds of things we have to do in week two when the games aren't good. So let's get into football. Let's recap week one. We have three favorites, three of the top four teams. Alabama dominated their game. Florida State looked really impressive after a shaky first half. And Clemson didn't look really impressive, but they did get the win over a much improved Auburn team. So anything to take away from those three teams that happened to win their games? Ryan?
Alabama looked ridiculous. Just leave it to Saban. I mean, week one, I was raving about Blake Barnett and how good he looked in the Elite 11, and they yanked him pretty quick, brought in this other guy, and he was awesome, just lightning fast. And when all of a sudden now Alabama has speed at quarterback, which we've never, ever seen, it's scary.
This guy brings a dimension that they haven't had, which is sort of being a dual threat quarterback. He looked really good, really good. I know it's early, and one of the lessons we always try to tell people is not to totally overreact to week one, but they looked great. They looked like the team to beat in college football, and we'll see how it goes. Florida State, I thought looked really nice. Let's talk about the big upsets. There were a bunch of them. Texas. So I need to start with an apology here. I underestimated the Longhorns. Me and Dan made a mayoral style bet. I owe you a brisket sandwich. We bet sandwich versus a Guinness. So I got to mail you a brisket sandwich, or perhaps just PayPal you like $12.50 or whatever it costs to get one down there. What do you want?
No, I would actually like.
You want brisket in the mail?
Yep. Mailed brisket.
Freeze dried, or you want me to just like make the sandwich and put the sauce on and just pack it up in a like USPS envelope?
Whatever you think. I'm going to leave that to you. I'll take either.
I feel like if I bring it to the post office and there's like a weird dark colored sauce leaking out of the envelope, that might set off some sensors. The NSA might be all over my ass. I've already got some like questionable emails, Dan. I can't have the NSA up in my business.
You just got to choose the right post office. It's as simple as that, all right? Be all right.
So feel free to brag or compliment Texas or rub it in my face or whatever you'd like to do. You too, Spill It, because you picked them as well.
Well, as we actually were talking after the podcast, there were a lot of like historical numbers and reasons why Texas was supposed to win that game. Like Notre Dame's had some weird, you know, issues with being a favorite of a small amount on the road for some reason over the past, God, what is it, almost like 7 years now. So now they're 0-9, favored by a touchdown or less on the road. Yeah, that's a good stat. So just weird stuff like that. You know, Texas had, you know, all kinds of motivation. You know, it was the largest, you know, home attendance in Longhorn history. And Chad Strong needed a win, and he got carried off in the whole nine yards. But hats off to Texas. That game was amazing, first of all. And their freshman quarterback was fun as hell to watch. And when the other guy, Swopes, came in, he could actually just take the ball and smash people, which is all he needs to do. So that was a nice kind of like 1-2 compliment that actually, you know, worked and was really effective against a really, really talented Notre Dame front seven. So impressed by Texas a lot. That was the game of the weekend. Hats off to them. I think people are overreacting how good they are. I think they still lose 3-4 games, but at least they can have some fun to start the fall semester in Austin.
I truly underestimated how good their quarterback was going to be in his first ever game. He looked great. Spill It, you called that one. I was just impressed. One thing I will say in my defense, although I was way off on my prediction, I did say one thing that was correct. I said that the coach who screws around the least with his QB rotation would have the advantage. Charlie Strong went into that game knowing exactly what he wanted to do with his two quarterbacks. Swoops came in the perfect time. You know, he did that Vince Young 5-yard run into the end zone play, which, by the way, Notre Dame seemed to line up for run or pass every time he came in. And I was just looking at my TV like, Tyrone Swoops is in. It's going to be a run. You don't need to worry about covering the pass. But for some reason, they still couldn't stop him. And then Brian Kelly, on the contrary, he just played Zaire too much. And there were at least two big possessions where they really needed a score. Malik Zaire came in and just, you know, went 3 and out or didn't really accomplish anything, where I think Kaiser would have done better. I think everyone agrees now Kaiser's the better of the two. And, you know, it's just those small missed opportunities that can cost you the game sometimes. So I don't want to say that Notre Dame should have won, but they definitely had some opportunities to put a few more points on the board. But kudos to Texas. The other big upset, well, there were a few big upsets, but Spill It, I want you to gloat for a minute because you picked Houston into your Final Four, and they laid the hammer down on Oklahoma. They didn't just win. I mean, this final was 33-23, a little bit deceptive. They really dominated that game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said in week one, I love Houston. I love the style. I think it is something that is sustainable. And as anyone who's ever heard me speak on this podcast, Bob Poops, this is what he does. I mean, you set your watch by it. He chokes in every big game. That's what he does. I just think they looked completely out of sorts. They looked outmatched. I mean, I thought that Houston had probably the 3 or 4 best players in that game were all on the Houston side. I thought that defensive tackle, that freshman, is insane. Just keep an eye on that kid. He's going to be wreaking havoc. And yeah, really excited about watching Houston right now. They do have a bit of a trap coming up. That Cincinnati game is a trap game for sure. But if they get through that, it's clear sailing until mid-November when Louisville's in town.
Well, I don't know about that, because Tom Herman, while he can beat Florida State and beat Oklahoma and beat Louisville, there is one team he has failed to beat, and that is the UConn Huskies.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll take him down again.
Nah.
So the other two big upsets, Wisconsin with a nice win in a, I'll say, defensive struggle, to be kind. I mean, that was a shit show on offense. Is there anything to take away from that game besides the fact that LSU has no quarterback, Dan?
Well, that's kind of what I was going to talk about, Tom. But
spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. I mean, come on. What the fuck? I mean, we love college football, and we, you know, listen to these guys on TV, and they go, okay, they're going to open it up. This is the year. They show practice footage, blah, blah, blah. We read articles. These guys make hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, whatever, and they feed us these lies. And all three of us knew that he was going to go up there and lay an egg, Brandon Harris. I mean, we all knew it, but no, we talked ourselves into Fournette and play action pass and all this bullshit that just is a waste of time. That last interception was epically bad. Like, you can't come back from that pick. Like, once you throw that interception, the rest of the season's done. Your whole team knows you're fucking trash. Just the way it is. I'm sorry. LSU's finished. They'll lose 4 or 5 games this year unless he doesn't play anymore. Because even if he plays his normal self and everyone else plays normal, they'll win 9-10 games. But his teammates aren't going to have any confidence in him. None. And they're going to stop trying. And it could be the end for Les again. I know they had like a mini riot last year, but I think they might force him out. But LSU is going to be a super, super weird, interesting year ahead. So keep your eye on that.
I don't like to overreact to week one. For example, Oklahoma and Notre Dame, I still think are fine. They even, you know, with some stellar play, Oklahoma especially has to improve, but they're not out of playoff contention. This could be a weird year, and I think teams are going to lose. But LSU, I'm ready to write them off. I talked about it on the week one podcast, but before the game, I put down a bet on that LSU under 10 wins for the season, actually expecting them to beat Wisconsin, thinking that they'd lose to, say, Ole Miss, Florida, and Alabama, for example. And we've already got the one loss, one more against a great Alabama team, and I push. And then they just drop one more game and I win my, you know, $50. I probably should have put down more. But that's it until they get a QB. And by the way, I don't know why, if you're a good like junior college QB or if you're a good freshman, you don't look at LSU and say, I could go there, I could start immediately, and I can win a national championship because they're loaded at every other position.
It makes no sense whatsoever. We've talked about it probably 20 times on these podcasts over 4 years. Like, it's unbelievable, and it makes no sense. It's inexcusable. I mean, Texas A&M had 3 quarterbacks a couple of years ago who are now all playing, like, real significant minutes and snaps. And frustrating to me as a college football fan. Fix it, LSU. Come on.
Kenny Trill could be playing for LSU right now.
Is that too much to ask?
There's a lot. I mean, there are so many guys they could have got. Will Greer, why didn't he transfer to LSU? Why didn't they go after him? That's a national title team with Will Greer. No? Well.
Don't worry. When Malik Zaire gets benched and quits the team, he can transfer to LSU next year. He's perfect for them.
There you go.
Very,
Malik Zaire,
very
not a
mediocre
bad QB.
At best.
Well, we'll see. I think he'd be better than Brandon Harris. Anyway, Dan, you're 1-0 with the lock of the week. Texas A&M and UCLA cover the over by 1 point.
Yep.
And your trap of the week, the Texas game, that also came through. So we're looking forward to your lock and your trap for this week.
They're both coming.
All right, guys. It's time to get into the lines. As I said, feel free to contribute any nonsense. We're going to really go quickly through these lines, most of them. But this one we might spend a little extra time on. Spill it, I'm turning this one to you. It's Louisville minus 14.5 at the dome. Syracuse finally has an offense. I know it's just Colgate, but they actually put up points. I mean, the one thing I could say is that they scored too many field goals when they could have gotten touchdowns, but at least they have a pulse.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that they're at least trying to play fast. My real kind of main point about this game is already in the Syracuse papers, there's a lot of back and forth between Bobby Petrino and Dino Babers. Petrino has already come out and said to the media that he has put in an official notice to the ACC that he thinks Syracuse is snapping the ball too fast, that the chains are not getting set in time, and that he's already said that I've contacted the head of officials that they need to be aware of that for the game. Babers came back and responded basically saying that's not the rule. The rule is as long as the down box is set, you can snap the ball. You don't have to wait for the chains anymore. And then now, just recently, the head of officials for the ACC also chimed in and said, yes, that is correct. Petrino, you don't know the rule. So this is actually getting a little bit interesting, a little back and forth with the coaches. I kind of like it. Give me Syracuse. That half point is tempting.
I don't know if I'd take Syracuse just yet. I won't bet on this game at all. This will be really a measuring stick to see, you know, where their program is truly at. But I think we can all agree that they're trending in the right direction. At least they're exciting. As I always said with UConn football, they didn't listen, but Syracuse did listen. If you're going to lose, at least lose like 50-38 instead of 6-3. At least make your fans enjoy the loss a little bit. All right.
I like it.
Moving along, Saturday, September 10th, we're going to do these in bunches. Let's go to the Big Ten, the three Big Ten teams that had nice weeks. I mean, the Big Ten had a great week overall in week one, but the three sort of top-tier teams at this point, we've got UCF at Michigan, minus 36, Akron at Wisconsin, minus 24.5, and then Tulsa at Ohio State, minus 30. Very big lines. All of these teams performed really well in week one. Are we primed for a letdown? Should we stay away? What do you guys think?
All those lines are pretty much right on. A couple of them, maybe two or three will cover, maybe two or three won't. But, I mean, all of them are going to win somewhere between 10 points and, like, 45 points. It's just hard to say what. I'll probably stay away from all three.
One bet I like, actually, out of those is Ohio State Tulsa 73.5. I really, really love the over. Tulsa, for people who don't know, that is the offensive coordinator now at Texas, the guy that was throwing it all over the place going fast. That's where he came from. That's the way Tulsa plays. They don't have the talent to get within 30 of Ohio State, but I think that game has a chance to get up into about 90, 95 points. So 73.5, I like the over.
I would agree with you. I would stay away from the other two, especially Wisconsin. I think they're going to be primed for a big letdown. I think they'll win, but 25 points is a lot. Ohio State, though, and Urban Meyer is back in full run-it-up mode. I kind of like that one. He just kept on scoring against Bowling Green when the game was over. He's in full-on asshole mode, so I would lay the points, rather, in that one. The other big Week 1 winners, they also have some big lines these next four games, and I want to know if you think they'll continue rolling or if they're primed for a letdown. Texas hosts UTEP, 29-point line. Alabama hosts Western Kentucky, 29.5. Oklahoma State, who had a nice win, they host Central Michigan, a 21-point line. And then the Baylor Bears, who still have a great offense, they host SMU, minus 32. Dan?
I like SMU. I don't think the new Baylor head coach will run it up like Art did. And SMU actually has a little bit of talent on their team this year, more than they've had the past couple of years. I have a feeling they cover. I think they only lose by like 17. So I'm going to take the 32 all day.
Anything you like in that group, Ryan?
No, not really. I think those are all pretty standard lines. I think Texas might be a little bit ambitious, that line. But other than that, I think they're all pretty good lines.
I'll probably stay away. I would say that Alabama looks so great. I think even not really trying hard, they almost have to beat Western Kentucky by 30. It's almost impossible for them not to. I'm not sure I would bet that one, and Saban's not a run-it-up guy, but feels like they could cover that in their sleep.
He's a run-it-up guy. He is just an undercover run-it-up guy.
He's never been as bad as like a Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh looked last week, or some of the other guys earlier in the day.
Harbaugh is.
You are. I mean, there's a few on a pedestal, but I've seen him put up a couple here and there.
Saban will run it up against a USC, but I feel we'll see. I feel like when he plays a Western Kentucky in week two, just tries to sort of rest his players a little bit. You'll see Blake Barnett, I think, take a lot more snaps, even though I think going forward, Jalen Hurts, is it Hurts or Hurts? I can't remember. Jalen Hurts. I think he will be. There's a Jalen Hurts on Notre Dame, I think.
Allen Hurts.
Oh, and there's that guy. So it's going to be confusing. All right.
Yeah, that just smells like 38-0.
Good teams that lost last week. Will this be a rebound game? UL Monroe, our beloved UL teams, they take on Oklahoma at Oklahoma, 46-point line. Oklahoma might be out for vengeance. Same with Notre Dame hosting Nevada, 28-point line. Auburn, who lost to Clemson, now they host Arkansas State, 19.5. And USC, who desperately needs a bounce back, they are a 16.5-point favorite against Utah State, who no longer has Chucky Keaton, so I'm not sure if they're good anymore. Spill it.
Are we sure Chucky Keaton's not there?
He might be. He used up his eligibility, but I think...
Can you confirm that before I make a bet?
Okay. Dan, why don't you take it, and then I'll see if I can look this up.
Okay, well, in the meantime, one game that's interesting is Auburn against Ark State, and you probably are looking for Arkansas to rebound, or Auburn to rebound, but the thing about that is... Oh, we've been early trap of the week.
All right. This is for people who haven't heard it before. This is our segment, Trap of the Week. Dan, before you talk about the game, who is our trap artist and song of the week? This segment is also known as Three White Guys Explain Rap Music.
This is, again, Mikos. It's a hit. Don't worry about it. I can't say it on air. moving on. Here's the reason why I really like Arkansas State, and it's the head coach. I mean, Malzahn used to be the head coach at Arkansas State, so there's that weird relationship there. I don't think Auburn's offense is really any good, so covering a 3-touchdown spread is tough. And three, Arkansas State's always a sneaky good team. Usually finishes about 8-4 or 9-3, and they play in a bowl game just about every year. So you factor in the coaching familiarity with Auburn's struggling offense and just awful quarterback play from Jeremy Johnson. He shouldn't even get a snap. And not that Sean White's much improved, but he's just a tiny bit better. And then you factor in the, whatever the hell the third one was. Moral of the story is Trap of the Week, Ark State, take the 19.5. Love that game.
All right, so I have an update on Chucky Keaton. I went to his Wikipedia page, and it said he was the quarterback 2011 to 2015. And then I was looking for, like, what's next? And there was nothing, no information, which led me to believe maybe he was sneaking back in. But now I found this article. Chucky Keaton, one of two former Utah State Aggies joining the Oregon State football staff. He apparently is a coach on Oregon State now, and it doesn't say what his position was. This is an older article, and I guess they just hired him without having an actual position. They just wanted him there. So I don't know what his job is, but apparently he is a coach for Oregon State.
Graduate assistant.
He'll be playing by midseason. He'll be suited up in a Beavers. I mean, Oregon State's already looking pretty bad. Chucky Keaton will be playing QB by midseason under an assumed identity. It'll be like Bucky Deaton
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
All right. Did you have a pick for that, Spill It, or should we move along?
No Chucky Keaton. Give me USC.
USC, I feel like, really needs a bounce back. They are like, you know, like a drunk guy who like got screamed at by his boss during the day, and now he comes home and gets drunk and has to like scream at his wife or kids. That's them. And Utah State are like the wife and kids who will get verbally abused. Moving along. That's not a great analogy, but you know what I meant.
Stop.
Pay it. They'll pay it forward in terms of destroying somebody. Non-conference rivalries, if you can call it that. Iowa at Iowa State, or vice versa. Iowa State at Iowa. 15.5-point line. Anyone care?
Hawkeye. Iowa State's really horrible. Like incredibly bad. Iowa State is going to get trucked. I know it's a rivalry game, but and I don't like betting this kind of game, but Iowa's the right play.
Yep.
I got to say, Iowa looks, I only caught a little bit, but they kind of look like Iowa from last year. They have a tougher schedule, so it's unlikely they'll go undefeated or make it till the last game. But I see no reason why they shouldn't win 8-9 games. I mean, they look like a pretty good team. Lay it.
Yeah, they're fine.
All right, gentlemen, we are at one of our favorite games of the year. We really need a name for this. I was thinking the Dust Bowl, but maybe that's too polite. Maybe like the New Mexico Horseshit Bowl. Something that implies what a terrible game it is each and every year. Two of the worst teams in America the past 10 to 15 years running. New Mexico -12.5 at New Mexico State. Dan, ever since we've been doing the podcast, and even before when I had this as a like written column, this was one of the games we loved. Both teams were so shitty. But this year, New Mexico State is historically bad, even for them.
Yes.
They are no good, and their only good player, arguably, running back Larry Rose, is doubtful for this game, probably won't play. So you're looking at a New Mexico team that is below average, which is great for them by their standards. Much improved New Mexico with Bob Davies at a subpar standard versus a historically bad New Mexico State. I'm going to say lay the points. And I'm also going to say I want to, you know how they like tag certain deer or tag fish so you can like monitor them the rest of the year? We need to tag New Mexico State as a team to watch. Their upcoming schedule, so they already lost 38-22 to UTEP, not exactly a powerhouse squad. Their upcoming schedule includes at Kentucky, Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, who look good, and then they have to go to Kyle Field and play Texas A&M. That's going to be the woodshed to end all woodsheds. It might be 100-0 in that game.
They're not winning any of those games.
They won't win any, but the Texas A&M one they might lose by like astronomical margins. So let's mark that one down as a team to watch. It makes me uncomfortable to lay any points with New Mexico, but I think that's the pick. All right.
Agree.
Penn State at Pitt. I feel like this might be a good time to try the Crystal Pepsi because it's two things that were popular in the 90s.
That's a great analogy, Z. It's time to crack that.
All right, like, you nailed it. All right.
This game is like the least exciting game of the whole like week. And 20 years ago, people would have been like, big game, big game.
This would have been a huge non-conference rivalry. Sorry.
Tom's coughing for Ryan.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm losing it. Anyway, you guys talk about the game. It's -5. It was -7, which is just so sad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Hey, I'm going to take Pitt because I don't like Penn State at all. And then somehow I like Pitt more these days. And James Conner, coming back from cancer, looking great last week. How can you not go with that story? James Conner, come back from cancer. Penn State.
Penn State about to unveil to honor Joe Paterno next week.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. We're going to throw the money. The money's going towards the cancer recovery. We're staying away from celebrating a pederast. We're going to move it around. or whatever, Sandusky Spectacular, whatever they're calling it next weekend.
I think Pederast Spectacular.
It's the preferred term.
I think it just occurred to me, this might be the best story of the last 10 years of college football and the worst story of the last 10 years. I mean, definitely the worst story of the last 10 years for Penn State, but Connor might be the best story of the last 10 years.
I can't wait till he's the Steelers next year. It's going to be the best.
Like 100%.
100.
Goodell's not going to let, he's going to get drafted by like the Vikings and Goodell's going to step in and throw a forearm shiver. And he's going to take it away.
Oh, look, who would have thought they took the local product? Well, us.
They're going to freeze the envelope like the Patrick Ewing draft and send him over to Pittsburgh.
It's rigged already. He gets his treatment at the medical center where the Steelers already go. Like, it's rigged. We're good.
All right. Actually, while we're on that topic, something Dan and I have discussed a bit, and I actually want to point it out here while we have a minute. Regional drafting in the NFL. This is something that we've talked about off air quite a bit, but watching the preseason this year, it is hilarious. You look at all these NFL rosters and they're number two, they're three, that's number three for sure. And usually the number two, look where they're from. It is so regional. Take a look at, let's see, Arizona Cardinals, Matt Barkley from USC. San Diego Chargers, Berkovici from ASU. Minnesota, Stave from Wisconsin. Green Bay has the other clown from Wisconsin.
Wait, Minnesota drafted Joel Stave?
Oh, signed him. Hell yeah.
I didn't realize that. Did they get his yips for free, or do they have to pay extra?
I think
that?
They might have already cut him, to be completely honest, but he was the three. Nassib, Syracuse kid at the Giants. So something to keep an eye on as you're watching some of these college football games is some of these guys will end up with a local pro team.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more we could say about this, but I want to focus on.
We'll dig into that another time. But yeah, something I just wanted to point out to look at as you watch some of these games.
I think that's kind of cool, especially when you consider a James Conner type scenario going to the Steelers.
Exactly.
It reminds me of like the old days when guys played for like the Hoboken Knight Riders and they had like a day job as a doctor and then they made $5.50 an hour playing football.
Oh, the Bills signing the Gronkowski, the youngest Gronkowski brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Buffalo kid. He's from, went to high school in Buffalo. We need a fullback. We're not going to go waste a bunch of money on some clown because they're a useless position. We'll just get the local kid. He'll work his ass off for us, this hometown team.
Why not? They should have done it with the last Gronkowski. They could have all the Gronkowskis.
Well, they knew that he had injury problems. That's why they didn't draft him. Who would want him?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he went to Arizona instead of Syracuse. Syracuse had too much knowledge of his injury past.
Well, another great Syracuse and Buffalo Bills decision. All right. You guys talk about the Holy War while I prepare this Crystal Pepsi for consumption. BYU at Utah, Utah -3.5.
Utah is always really good early in the year. Every single year, like their first month, they're like beat the shit out of teams. And then they have this awful stretch where they like go at Washington. And that's the Crystal Pepsi definitely opening.
The Crystal Pepsi opening was much louder and closer to the microphone than anticipated.
You can hear that Crystal Pepsi in Utah. That's how crystal clear that Pepsi is. So, yeah, I mean,
it is as crystal clear as people who live in Utah.
I was going for that. I'm glad you got that connection, Z. I like that. You're a quick one. So, yeah, go with Utah because they're a September story usually. So if this game was any other month, pick against them. But they usually start off hot.
Spill it, you have a pick, or is it time?
Totally agree. I like Utah. I think their home field is super underrated.
All right. It's time for the most important part of the show. Let's see if the nostalgia and taste of Crystal Pepsi can live up to the I guess, terrible vision I have in my mind from 25 years ago. I'm pondering. Give me a minute. It definitely, I'm trying to think of whether this is the same Crystal Pepsi I tasted long ago or whether they've messed with the, because Pepsi obviously knows that it was junk back then. My fear was that they sort of manipulated the recipe to try to make it good, to sort of trick us into thinking. But I'm sort of thinking it's the same. It tastes like a flat Pepsi with less flavor. Yeah.
No good. It was bad. I don't know why they brought it back.
I think this version tastes closer to regular Pepsi than it did back in the day. I think they may have altered the formula.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, not terrible. I wouldn't say it's good. I mean, I'm not a regular soda drinker these days like I was back in the day, so maybe my standards aren't as high, but I'm gonna say not terrible. I'm going to say they are the Utah of sodas. Not failing out, not showing off.
All right.
All right, well, let's move along to other games. We can go as fast or as slow as you would like. That sounded very sexual, but...
a little bit.
You know, if you don't care about the games, just give me a no or a quick analysis. That's what I'm getting at. Kentucky at Florida. Florida 17-point favorite. Seemed like Florida had a little trouble even winning by 17 against the mighty UMass. So I'm going to say take the points.
Agree.
Liam, Kentucky had a historically bad game. They were up like 25 and blew the game. They might not win a game this year.
I'm looking at a Florida 13-point win, but that's just me. Agree to disagree, I guess. All right. Arkansas at TCU. This is, I guess, a somewhat interesting game as they go this week. TCU is currently a 7.5-point favorite.
Trill, 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 trill. Yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and apologize for that TCU pick in the Final Four last week. I get excited sometimes. They had a bit of trouble with San Diego State. That was kind of embarrassing. They had like a 60-something to 40-something game. It was pretty embarrassing. But on the plus side, TCU's going to probably drop 60 on most people this year in the Big 12. So I really don't like Arkansas. I hate the style, the slow down, boring. It's going to be interesting to see who controls that game. The TCU Arkansas, it's going to be pretty interesting, but I like TCU.
Yeah. I wasn't thoroughly impressed by TCU. Again, Oklahoma didn't look great either. So they'll compete in a not great Big 12. The Big 12 is looking like, again, it's way too early, but right now they're looking like the conference that might be left out of the playoff. So we'll see how that goes. Way too early to make that call, though.
Gundy might have something to say about that.
UConn, fresh off a tough, hard-fought win over the Maine Black Bears. Now they have to play at Navy. Navy's a 3.5-point favorite. The one thing going in UConn's favor, so Navy's quarterback got injured, their starting quarterback, and they put in another guy, and they had to literally pull a guy out of the stands. Their red-shirted QB, or was to be red-shirted, had to remove his red shirt and come down from his seat and like suit up during the game. So
that's crazy.
They're thin at QB, and Navy, as we know, is a triple option team. Everything relies on the QB. So maybe UConn can win. Dan, you played UConn flag football. Would your championship-winning flag football team beat this year's UConn actual football team?
No, but we would probably cover. So, you know,
I'm putting that at like 6.5.
Depends. It depends who you talk to on campus. You know,
neutral field.
you got to talk around, or you have to shop numbers. There's a lot of different guys.
You'll play on the neutral field in the dirt outside Celeron.
That's right. I'll play tomorrow. So UConn's horrible until further notice. We are staying away. Untouchable game. Pretend like it's not going on, even if you live next to the stadium.
I say this every year, but I say it with more conviction than ever this year. Bob Diaco is done at UConn. I mean, he's winning games, but they look terrible. They'll never be a competitive team. Now that we have had the Penn State thing, you know, the whole Sandusky thing we discussed, and the Baylor thing, which is, you know, the next worst thing to happen in college football, it makes me look back on a time when a man named Jim Tressel got in trouble for what we can now all admit was basically nothing. I think it's time for the return of Jim Tressel, head coach of UConn 2017. I've said this for like 4 years, but this year I really mean it. Jim Tressel, UConn football coach and athletic coordinator or athletic. What do they say? AD?
Director.
Yeah. Director. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Not bad. I was actually thinking he was going to pop up at Rutgers for some odd reason. Oh. I know that whole Rutgers, Ohio State, Belichick, there's all sorts of ties there. I don't know.
Yeah, Rutgers is a tougher sell, though, because they're having their own scandals and problems. So you got to bring in a guy who's sort of clean, you know? Whereas UConn has UConn has the social capital to burn. You know, they've run a clean program and they failed. So they can sort of say we'll get this guy. He has one minor blemish on his record, which as we look back now, we all can admit was a 2 out of 10 on the scale of how bad it was.
Yeah. Tattoos UConn for is cash. They're still going to be a basketball school. I don't know that they'll ever hire a football AD.
Well, just forget about UConn for a second. I mean, Spillett, you're the one college coach here. You have to, you know, follow all these kind of arbitrary, weird standards. How do you look at Jim Tressel now and the tattoo for cash sort of scandal? Is it a bad thing or is it not really a big deal? Like I think,
I mean, all the thing about that is they all fall under the same umbrella, which is lack of institutional control. Now that could mean a bunch of things. That could mean just too many guys getting, written up in the dorms for drinking. That could mean tattoos for cash. You know, anything of that nature, they all just fall under the same umbrella. You know, so I think that's kind of where Tressel goes under, you know, just basically that. He didn't do anything too bad that came out. I think he did also benefit by just missing the height of the social media, Snapchat, Twitter stuff. Who knows what would have come out if that stuff was around?
Do you think he deserves a second chance?
Eh, sure. Why not?
At a lesser program.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I'm speaking hypothetically. I mean, he's got a good job over at I think he's at Akron, so he might not even want to be back in coaching.
He's only going to do it if he can be an AD. And I don't know many programs that'll have an AD head coach combo. That's just a very rare thing.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there. I've tasted more of the Crystal Pepsi while you were speaking, and I've identified the shitty taste. Now it's all coming back to me, just like a game of Mario 3, just like a Mortal Kombat cheat code. It's all coming back to me. It's like a syrupy taste that is not... you know, normal soda, normal Pepsi, it's like there's syrup, but it's sort of mixed in the flavor. This just tastes like a flat Pepsi that someone dumped some like syrup in it and didn't swirl it.
That's that high fructose corn syrup for you. Drink that raw, kid.
The scissor up. That's what scissor up is, right?
That too.
It's like not mixed correctly, you know? It's got all the ingredients that one would consider soda, but they're not blended in the proper manner. I think that'll be my last comment on the Crystal Pepsi. I think I'm going to finish this or maybe dump it out, and I'm just going to take it to work and this is going to be my new like water bottle at work. I'm going to see how many days it takes until somebody comments on it. Me just walking around with a Crystal Pepsi bottle. Meetings,
etc.
Someone I work with is actually already doing that, so it's very quickly commented on.
That's all right. Just like vaping, you know, this stuff, it starts on the West Coast now and it moves out here. So
it's true.
You guys, Dan was talking about vaping. Dan was vaping like 4 years ago when it wasn't really a thing.
I was ahead of the pack.
You can check the tape. We had a long conversation about vaping and why it's not smoking and the difference between the two. Long time ago. You were way ahead. Ahead of your time. You were the Billy Corgan of vaping.
Well, here comes my Adore album with this next pick. There we go.
South Carolina and Mississippi State. Anything to say about these two disgraces of teams?
South Carolina is not good, and I don't know. Mississippi State doesn't have Dak. It's really tough.
I can't really blame Mississippi State. You know, they have a down year. They had a bad game.
Yeah, just under and get away from that game. That's what I would do.
All right, we're moving into the big games of the week, and I use that term loosely. Virginia Tech at Tennessee. Tennessee, a 12-point favorite, coming off a overtime struggle against Appalachian State. We talked about their struggles enough last week. Do they bounce back and cover, or to me this seems like a clear take-the-points opportunity?
Because it's a clear take-the-points opportunity, it probably – somehow they will sneakily cover this. Like, they'll be up 7 late and, like, run a 23-yard touchdown in to win by 14 or something. But until Tennessee proves themselves, I mean, you cannot wager on them. But be careful. This is a stinky line if I ever smelt one. So, I don't know.
Under. Just take the under. Neither of these teams can score.
This game is also being played at, I don't know the name of the track, but it's a motor track.
Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm not a big auto racing fan, so I don't know that. But that's one of the big ones, right? That's like one of the famous.
150,000 people they expect at this game.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking those kind of nerves associated with that game, it means a low scoring, close, you know, run heavy, conservative game, at least to start. That's why I like the points in the under.
There you go.
All right, Washington State at Boise State. Boise State looked pretty good against an inferior opponent, of course. And then Washington State, Luke Falk, continuing the strong tradition of Washington State QBs throwing for like 700 yards a game and going 3-9.
Yeah, that's what Washington State does. One thing I want to point out with this game is the total opened at 67.5. It's currently at 74. That's the second highest jump of the week. One earlier, Louisville Syracuse opened at 59, now sitting at 69.5.
I don't think this one's done moving either. Is anyone going to bet the under in this game? There's no way.
No, there's no way. I mean, obviously, check the weather, but you should be good unless it's super windy. Over it.
This game's got 50-49 written all over it.
It does.
All right. Virginia at Oregon. This is one where I actually have some thoughts. So it's a 24.5-point line as of this morning. Virginia is very, very bad. I don't know. Most people probably didn't pay attention to Virginia football last week, but they lost 37-20 to the mighty Richmond Spiders. That's their name, right? Richmond Spiders?
Oh, yes.
All right. And now coming off that embarrassing loss, they have to make a cross-country trip to Eugene. Oregon, they had their problems in the first game. They gave up 28 points to UC Davis, but 522 total offensive yards. Royce Freeman barely really played. And a guy that I had never heard of before, even though I watch Oregon, Charles Nelson, 288 all-purpose yards, including kick returns, punt returns, and he took some snaps at QB. So I am looking at the classic old-school first half line for Oregon in this game, and maybe I'm taking the 24.5 as well. I think Virginia isn't going to hang in this game.
I agree. I mean, if you lose to Richmond and you travel across the country to play Oregon, I don't give a shit who's playing for Oregon. They're going to smack you pretty hard.
Ryan, anything to add?
Love that first half line. Love it. That's a really great bet, Tom.
I love that. That's old school. A few years ago, I used to be pretty much every game I would bet the Baylor and the Oregon first half lines because they'd be up 50-10 at halftime and then they'd sort of lay off the gas a little. So I'm bringing it back, just like Crystal Pepsi, bringing it back for 1 week. All right, last game of the week. I hand this one off to you guys. Texas Tech at Arizona State. Arizona State, a 3-point favorite at home, meaning we've basically got a toss-up of a game. You two will be attending.
Yeah, we're going to go to this one. It's going to be fun. It's a 10 o'clock East Coast start on Fox Sports 1. This is the game that's going to be on TV when people are, like, really smashed at the bar at 1:45 in the morning, and they're like, last call. And they're like, there's a football game on still. Like, that's going to be this game, and we all know we've seen this game before. This game never goes under. Total sitting at 79.5 or 80, wherever you're looking. The lock of the week this week is the over in this game. Zero tackling, zero sort of normal football will go down. I'll be shocked if this game goes under. So you're telling me that Arizona State's a 3-point favorite? Vegas projected scores 41-38. Like, there's no way. There's no way that's going to be the score. So, love the over, and I think Texas Tech is a better team than Arizona State as well. So I'm definitely going to bet the over, and I'm definitely going to do a over and Texas Tech money line parlay.
All right, Ryan, you've got to add something since you're going to be at the game.
Well, Dan kind of nailed that. I do also love Texas Tech in this game. The 3 points doesn't – I mean, even if the game they think is a toss-up, I still think Texas Tech is significantly better. I don't think Arizona State's all that great this year. I think they've lost a lot. And I think Todd Graham has kind of run his course. Like, it's – his shtick gets old kind of quick. It's just, you know, 3 or 4 years and then he's got to move on. So really excited about this game. Weather's going to be beautiful and excited to get a nice late night football game in and then get up early for NFL.
My prediction is that you guys will not be out of that stadium until 2 a.m. local time, which, are you 3 hours behind right now or two in Arizona?
Three.
All right, so you're 3 hours behind the East Coast. There was a Wyoming game last week that I think ended at, what, like 4:40 in the morning East Coast time? Mm-hmm. I think this one has a chance to surpass that. I'm predicting like triple OT. You guys exit the stadium like 2:20 a.m. your time. With my baby, you know, keeping me up all hours of the night, I might be able to catch the end of this one at like 5 a.m. when I wake up.
Yep.
That's my only prediction.
Text us when you get up for that 3, 4 a.m. feeding, and mm-hmm. we'll let you know if it's worth turning the game on.
Dan, you have one thing to add?
Oh, yeah. Going back to Arizona State not being good. Last week, they opened their season at Northern Arizona University. Northern Arizona University is so small, it makes SUNY Oswego look like Ohio State. It's this tiny little college, and with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, the score was 10-6 Arizona State. Now, the final score was 44-16, but they literally ran it up in the fourth quarter so no one would ever look into that box score. But I looked into that box score. 10-6 through 37 minutes of play? Oh, that's not good. Texas Tech dropped 69, and you know when they dropped 69, they could have dropped 130. So I really like both Texas Tech, but especially the over. Texas Tech should hang a 55-plus ball on them.
Dan, you can't blame them for that. That's a interstate rivalry, just like if Syracuse football struggled with SUNY Albany.
It's very similar, except SUNY Albany's way larger, like infinitely. But still, I get your...
SUNY New Paltz? What SUNY school is it equivalent to? Brockport?
What's the smallest one you got? Ryan, before I got this.
New Paltz is pretty small.
Yeah, That's probably it.
Yep, them. There you go.
SUNY New Paltz over Arizona State, plus +3.
Horrible. Yeah.
Well, we've come to the end of the games. It was not a good slate of games. If there's ever a time when you have to like do something or, you know, take your significant other out, we always say week two is the week. But, you know, I'm still going to watch, of course. But I don't know. What would you guys offer up as suggestions to remedy this bad week? Alcohol, skipping some of it.
Sleep in, enjoy the afternoon with the family, and then late night, put the kids to bed and watch ASU Texas Tech.
If you're in a relationship, you have to do something with the girl this weekend because NFL football starts and college is about to get really good. So Saturdays and Sundays are going to be occupied for a while. You got to do something good this Saturday. I mean, that's what any good boyfriend would do. I'm going to be at the Arizona State game with Ryan, so that just kind of tells you where I'm at on this one. But my advice for everyone else would be to go do that.
Well, there's a lot to read into that, Dan. But any closing thoughts? We have a few minutes left. If you've got any nonsense or 90s nostalgia, pop culture, non-sports items.
Nah.
Or we can just call it a day and I can chug the rest of my Crystal Pepsi.
You should enjoy that Crystal Pepsi, but, you know, if you have any, like, heart issues or palpitations, just, you know, reach out to us. It may not be good for anyone to drink Crystal Pepsi on the whole earth. This is a take the points nationwide warning. You stay away from the Crystal Pepsi. It wasn't good in the 90s. It's not good now. We've proven it over the last hour and made some good picks. So, thanks for listening, everybody.
What is more likely to kill you in one soda can? In fact, you can rank these three. Crystal Pepsi, Jolt, and Surge.
One is Jolt. Jolt is by far number one. The other two are tied for three. There is no two. Because Jolt, I think, was like, all right, they may have modified it now, so like one of every 50,000 gas stations in the country can carry it or whatever.
No, they modified the ingredients of Jolt because it was like declared illegal.
That's what I'm getting at. So like right now, like it's like hardly legal, which meant back when we had it, it was super illegal. Like it was like basically crystal meth. Like if you drank a six pack of that real quick, you could have a heart attack. It was like cocaine. Amazing. So yeah, Jolt. Good reference. Totally forgot about Jolt. God, that shit was so strong too. It was like if you took a glass of Pepsi and put it out in the sun for like 4 hours and then cooled it off real quick and tried to drink it. It was like mud.
I would say Jolt is definitely one, but don't sleep on Surge. I had a can of Surge. I was at a Penn State game and I took a sip. You were there, yeah. And so you may remember this. It was like when Surge first came out, they were handing out free samples of Surge. It was like the beta version. I don't know if it was like FDA approved yet. And so I took two sips and I'm like, this shit is disgusting. And so I poured it out on the sidewalk and it started to like bubble and fizz. And I swear to God, it like made holes, like cracks in the sidewalk.
It was not good. And beta version Surge.
People drank that beta Surge.
You know what that kind of was like in that movie Role Models. It's basically the like Minotaur feed the beast. Like it was that same drink. Like, yeah, Minotaur, like Surge, Penn State, Paterno, Beano. Yeah. Like it was out of control.
It was. Well, this is never mind. I had a very inappropriate joke.
Every time we get back to Penn State, it gets a little bit quiet. And I was like, we all need to watch our words just a little bit more. And like, we're like, okay, moving on. Illinois versus anybody. Just get us past this fucking game.
I've got a child now. I can't make these same jokes that are going through my head. I gotta temper myself.
We're 35 years old and we can't help ourselves. Ryan's still 34.
Last question. Which of the three sodas, Jolt, Surge, and Crystal Pepsi, Which jock jam would go best with each one?
Okay, here we go. This is good. Okay, I'm going to go with Surge. Come on, ride the train. The choo-choo, ride it. Woo-woo. Okay, I think that makes sense. It's kind of like the Minotaur feed the beast. I think that's a similar parallel there. Another jock jam. We're going to go with Hey, a.k.a. Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter for Jolt. Because as you're having a stroke on the floor, your only thing you're going to be able to say is the word hey. Just hey, 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 which means get help. I'm dying of a heart attack because I had 3 cans of Jolt. So that would be 2. And I'll let you guys come up with Crystal Pepsi.
See, I disagree with you strongly. I think the clear one for Jolt is Y'all Ready for This, because like Jolt, it pumps you up more than any of the others.
That is the correct answer.
All right, and Spill It, Crystal Pepsi. Which jock jam goes with Crystal Pepsi? I bet you did not expect to answer this question when you woke up this morning.
Very good question.
Yeah, see, I kind of thought Crystal Pepsi and Gary Glitter kind of went hand in hand. I kind of like that combination.
And what is your reasoning? Both are child molesters?
Yeah, basically. They're both very pederast-looking things.
Gary Glitter, I believe, is an actual child molester. Allegedly. Correct. I'm going to say allegedly because I need to Google that one and check it out. Much like the career of Chucky Keaton, I think this one needs to be verified.
One hit wonder, and it's a little bit creepy.
I think he's got an actual like criminal record, though.
Oh, that is correct.
I'm not trying to insinuate things.
There's a whole list of stadiums that refuse to play that song because he is a pederast. That's true.
It is.
Good.
All right.
Dan, which soda best goes with the Scorpion Mortal Kombat finishing move?
Ooh, well, that's hard to say. But I will give you a Crystal Pepsi answer. Mm-hmm. I will nominate Cotton Eye Joe Techno Remix for Crystal Pepsi because, one, both Crystal Pepsi and Cotton Eye Joe should remain in the 90s. Two, if you drink enough Crystal Pepsi, you will be Cotton Eye Joe. And that's all I got. And I'm done.
That's the perfect answer. They're both extremely horrible.
Yeah. That's great.
That's it. We're never going to get
and
better
Surge
than that.
And Surge is Sandstorm.
There you go.
We're never, ever going to get better than that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a load of better games. TakeThePoints.net, iTunes, Stitcher, or find a download on the back of Crystal Pepsi's next week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get in touch with them. We're going to do a product placement deal. All right.
Wait, see, hold on.
Yeah.
We should each pay for ads in our new times one time to get a little ad. It says, take the points. It's a college football podcast. We'll put one in the Phoenix new times and one in whatever new times you got over there. Just the one time we go, find us on the new times. You know, then we go, wait, what?
Well, the Hartford equivalent was shut down a couple years ago. But I'll take the Syracuse one.
Yes.
And you guys can do like, I don't know, Phoenix. And Vegas.
Yeah. You got the Phoenix times. Good.
I think you're on to something, Dan. One thing I would like to do is increase our social media Twitter presence, specifically Twitter. I want people to, when you listen to this podcast, tweet at us what are the best ways that we can promote this show. And by best ways, I mean joke ways. Like, I don't want to hear anyone say, like, rent a billboard. Well, rent a billboard, maybe, depending on what's on it, but I might throw some money at this if we get a really good suggestion.
Okay, I like it.
All right. In the meantime, you know, keep an eye in the mail for your brisket sandwich. And
yes,
we'll see everybody next week.
Have a good week, everybody. Good luck.
All right. Take the point.